This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Well, this was an unprecedented slide, Laura, and a lot of people had speculated that the Cleveland Browns would have some interest, but it was much earlier in the draft. The Browns liked him, but not that much to use a high pick on him. They even picked Dillon Gabriel ahead of him. But when Shedeur Sanders continued to sit on the draft board at pick 144 in the fifth round, the Browns felt compelled to move up in the draft to take a player at that time. And who would have thought that we would be talking about Shedeur Sanders like this as a draft value? That's how they viewed him at that point. And they now have five different named quarterbacks going into training camp.
Shout out Kenny Pickett being called a name quarterback.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter, two things on Shedeur Sanders' slide and some news out there. Boomer Esiason has something on this. I didn't realize this one part of the point about Sanders, which makes total sense. I didn't realize he didn't hire an agent.
Yeah.
He didn't hire an agent. And what is an agent going to do? Talk to all the teams and get their honest assessments and tell mm-hmm. him you're not going second overall.
All right.
It's not happening.
So don't build a draft room.
Yeah.
With all the hats and, yeah, because he did that.
Don't act like you're just going to get drafted in the first round mm-hmm. because of who you are. These teams don't think you're that good.
Yeah.
That's what an agent would have done. Boomer Esiason said on WFAN, after talking to three different personnel people in the NFL this weekend, they didn't even have him on their board. They took him off, and they took him off because owners said, take him off. I don't want that guy. I don't want this entitled person on our team, and I don't blame them. That's what Esiason said about this, and basically said that when he went in, Esiason further, when you listen to him talk right prior to the combine about how if you want a new culture in your locker room, I'm the guy to do that. I can turn it around. He's very high in himself. I think that's very off-putting to many, many coaches and GMs in the league.
Yeah.
So that explains the slide. The idea of, like, draft me, I'll change your culture, didn't sit well with GMs and coaches who take something like that very seriously.
Yeah.
So he slid down the board.
Well, especially when – and there were – you've seen a lot of – what's happening right now. Teams are leaking things to kind of explain that, hey, this isn't – I saw someone call it Kaepernick-level collusion in the NFL. Like, I don't think it graduates to that at all. But – like, you're seeing teams explain it by, like, okay, well, he tanked the interview. What do you expect us to do? Because there was a little bit out there that he purposely didn't do well in interviews with teams that he didn't want to go to. And there was another report about how, you know, he just missed things. Like, we had put in purposeful mistakes on, like, installs to see how he would do with them, and he just didn't notice them. So there were other reasons for it. But why he slid, to me, is probably just that it is his personality not lining up with the prospect. And when you get to a point in the draft, when would this be? Round two, round three, maybe more so, where if you're not spending a first-round pick on this guy, and it's not, well, he's the plan. He's going to be the starter. He's going to be given every opportunity to be the starter. At some point in the draft, what does it become? How would this guy be as a backup? That's what the draft becomes after what? Round three? Yep. Round four? How would this guy do as a developmental quarterback behind somebody that we're probably going to be playing this year? And with all the confidence and the name power, what do teams often do in those situations? Why didn't Cam Newton ever get signed as a backup quarterback? Because teams don't want that as their backup quarterback. They don't want a headache as their backup quarterback. They want a dude who's friends with the starter and isn't going to make any headaches. And when it becomes, okay, now we're at a point in the draft where he's a backup, he's everything you don't want as a backup.
Yeah, if you have a young guy, you don't want...
And that's why he fell.
Right. If you have a young guy, it's you want to give that guy the opportunity to take the job. If it's a franchise guy, you want to prop him up. If it's a guy, developmental guy, you got to make sure. There's always politics in terms of the quarterback room. Mark in Tonawanda is up. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I don't have a lot on the Shador thing. But, Jeremy, idiots like me call in all the time. And for you to say that you never cut anybody off, to me, is just disrespectful to the 45 minutes I spent in the gym parking lot where I told my girlfriend I'd be working out, but I'm on the line with you. But, I just think yesterday was great. And it's not often that people can call you, Nate, or Shope with guns a-blazing like that. And the fantasy football comment, it was awesome. And here's my point with all this. You guys have the luxury of being the only all-day sports talk radio in the city and in Buffalo, and you guys are critical of everybody. When somebody calls in and is critical of you, it's like, oh, my God. Like, this is major headline news. It's Brandon being disrespectful. Oh, it's good. Everybody blows you up on Twitter. And it's like, there's only a handful of people that could do that because you guys got control of the radio. You guys got control of the button. But here's my point, and this is the reason why I called. I am dying for Kevin Adams to be in a position to talk to you the way Brandon Bean talked to you yesterday and say, listen, you guys have been talking about a puck-moving defenseman, an offensive kind of defenseman, and you're still talking about it because they're good. This team stinks, and it's nice to see a little fire under a GM, and I wish Kevin Adams would have a fraction of that kind of passion with the media, with this building this whole embarrassing roster. But I thought it was great radio. I don't feel bad that happened to you yesterday. I call all the time. I hope you don't take it personal. I thought it was great. I don't even listen to you. Thanks, man.
Yeah. We don't cut people off. I mean, unless like they ramble and start to get bad cell phones. It really doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do because it's just, you're losing the plot. But, it's one thing that was said a lot yesterday that's just flat out untrue. And any idea that people call the show and if they challenge us, we freak out. It's one of those things. You think you're always right. People will say that. I always ask anybody, don't you? Who doesn't think they're right? The instant you think you're wrong about something, you change your mind. That's what everything is. Listen, I think I'm wrong about this, but here's what I think. Who would do that? Every person that calls this show has an opinion, calls in and thinks they're right, and we think we're right, and Brandon Bean thinks he's right, because you do the work and you form opinions based on whatever research you have. So, Mark, you're entitled to your own interpretation of whatever happens, but...
Also, thank you for believing that I have the sway to get ESPN to put that on their front cover story yesterday.
That's another thing.
Yeah. I don't know who works at ESPN anymore. I called Stephen A. Smith to make sure that they were going to do that.
Right. It is kind of funny.
Joke.
Inside the curtain here. I don't care at all that went around the world. In fact, I wish it had.
I wish it hadn't. 1,000%.
I wish it hadn't.
Totally wish it hadn't.
You guys are so wonderful. This gift, basically, you're viral. All this means is that a lot of people called me names yesterday. Let me tell you how great that was. It was awesome. Good times.
And now believe that this is new bulletin board material for the Bills when it isn't.
Right. Wow.
That's great.
What a win. So, it's our job to talk about it. That's what we do. Let's get another call in. Dennis in Lockport. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, guys. Great show. I'm not going to belittle you guys. I love you guys. Hey, quick question. You're talking about Elijah Moore. I'm glad you were talking about him. I want to get a little what you guys think about him. But how about Keenan Allen out of Chicago? There's been some rumors, too, Buffalo was interested in. And I want to see your guys' take on that one.
Thanks, Dennis. I feel like, I don't know when this happened, but every receiver became a slot receiver. Right? Yeah. Like Allen's supposed to be primarily a slot guy, a bigger, slower, power slot. Like Keenan Allen's game is similar to Keon Coleman's, right? Big, strong, power slot. So
yeah,
I just don't think structurally it's a fit because they could probably use a faster guy like Elijah Moore.
Yeah. The rumor, by the way, wasn't necessarily a rumor, Dennis. It was, I saw this, it got aggregated a little bit too, but it was just CBS Sports had an article like best fit for each remaining free agent, and somebody put Keenan Allen on the Bills for that. So I haven't seen any rumor about them being interested in him, because I don't think you need another slot receiver, another possession receiver, which to me is what Allen is. I like Moore. Don't think he's amazing, but that's the skill set I'm looking for. A sub-4-4 guy who runs vertical routes, can play all around the field, especially down the field, which is the only thing I think the Bills need to improve on offense. And he's somebody they had in. So he's the name to me to be thinking about more than Keenan Allen. I don't think Keenan Allen makes much sense.
803-0550, Greg in Kingston. Hey, Greg.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
Just wanted a couple of comments. I mean, the NFL draft is so exciting just because of the variety of positions. And just to validate your question yesterday about wide receiver, a very valid question. And just a couple of things I'd like to hear you comment on. I think the Bengals are an interesting test case in an organization that's focusing on receiver, having signed Chase and Higgins. And I know we often talk about the Chiefs and how they're moving, but curious if you think that's kind of instructive at all. And maybe to Bean's point about having to focus on, football players and the organization of the whole team. And then also just curious to hear about if you think that, perhaps what happened with Diggs is a reason, having Allen kind of keep the leadership. I'm wondering if they're being more cautious in terms of maybe getting that alpha wide receiver, as receivers tend to be. Curious your thoughts on that. And I just want you to keep asking the question and appreciate it. And thanks so much for taking the call.
Thanks, Greg. I wondered that because he said he did slip in there about, you get guys get frustrated. There's only one ball. So I don't know if they're still feeling the effects of Diggs commanding more targets than the rest of the receiver group. I've maintained throughout the Diggs tenure that one way to get him fewer targets commanded to him would be to give other options that were better. And he was the good option. And their other options when he was here were not all that good. So that's a part of that.
He did say they were number one after trading Stephon Diggs.
They were also they're very, very good with Diggs for 3 out of 4 years.
And that could be a lot of the attitude too.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised by that it's not just, what they did in the draft, but it's a long-ranging feeling of I made a bold choice to dump my number one wide receiver and that had been elite for 5 years, and what we did was finish top two in points.
Mm-hmm.
And his feeling that he should be given credit for that, or that the team should be given credit for that more so, I would get why that would be the source of the tone yesterday.
And to the Bengals, there are a lot of teams that pay two receivers. The Eagles, people need to pay more attention to the Eagles. The Bills can be the Eagles.
Well, okay.
Financially.
Right. Are you talking about receiver specifically or the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Another thing that happened yesterday that I heard Bulldog say I hadn't even thought about in the moment was when he said you can't have Pro Bowlers at every position, and I heard Bulldog yesterday be like, Philly does. Philly is, maybe you even said it too. They have Pro Bowlers at every position.
Yeah, almost. They have a lot. And
including wide receiver.
Including wide receiver. And running back, and tight end, and offensive line.
And defensive and they line, draft defense. And linebacker. And
What's happened to the Bengals, which, listen, I just end up thinking that the salary cap exists as an excuse for owners. And GMs work for owners. What's the difference between the Eagles and these other teams? The Eagles spend more, move more money. They go to the wall for as many players as possible. The amount of money the Eagles have spent on their offense, and then they draft defense. And what's the difference between the Eagles and the Bengals? The Bengals draft picks have not hit. They've not had as successful draft picks. They've not traded up as much as Philadelphia has. But I don't think that Higgins and Chase will in any way be prohibitive to the Bengals having a good team. Other personnel decisions might, but paying two receivers is not something that has to hurt anybody. It was for a while the long-held belief was, well, no quarterback on a second contract has won the Super Bowl. Remember saying that? Remember people saying that? Would anyone ever make that case again? Now all these guys make $50 million. There's 20 guys that make $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
And the cap keeps going up and up and up. And some teams decide to build around that quarterback on the offense. And the Bills have big money in Dawkins. By the way, you know who one of the Bills' highest cap hits is? which is
this year,
which is fun to kind of talk about.
Is it Knox?
Dawson Knox is one of the top cap hits.
Yeah.
$14 million, I think, is his cap hit. Anyway, that's a little aside. It's just to say, the Bengals are not the only example of what to do. And again, that's paying receivers, not drafting them, just paying them.
All right.
So a big part of this point, a huge part of this point, pretend it's a different position. Do you want defensive ends in the draft? In part because it makes financial sense, probably. Mm-hmm. That's a good point to make, that you're paying a lot of veterans big money. Your draft picks are free labor. Where are you going to get that cash? Where are you going to make that up? And the Bills have an opportunity here to have defensive players now outplay their contracts on some of these deals, which is something you want. It's why you want a lot of draft picks. 803-0550. Thanks for the phone call. And, Cincinnati, I don't think is a cautionary tale any more than Philadelphia is proof mm-hmm. that it works. A lot of ways to win. And the Bills could win. As presently constructed, which is, something else we said yesterday and we'll continue to say. Elijah Moore. We'll keep talking about him because that might happen. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550 on WGR.